Okay, we're on the near the bottom of Gemara Makkos Daf Tes Amud Aleph. We're trying to resolve the contradiction between our Mishnah and a Braisa in regards to the status of a Ger Toshav, the righteous Gentile who lives amongst the Jewish people, if they have a connection to this idea of killing unintentionally, going into Golus. So from our Mishnah, it appeared they are in that category. Clearly, when a Ger Toshav kills a Ger Toshav, he goes into Golus. Well, a Braisa seemed to equate the Ger Toshav with the Goy, who does not go into Golus, but rather gets killed when he kills. And the Gemara wanted to resolve that contradiction. To that, we have a Machlokes, Rav Chisda, and Rava as to how to resolve the contradiction. Rav Chisda answered by saying that our Mishnah that says he goes into Golus is when he kills another Ger Toshav while going down, which is the same thing as a Jew. But the Chiddush of Rav Chisda is the Braisa that says you kill him is when you were going up. And his Chiddush, as opposed to everybody else's understanding, is going up is closer to Mazid, which everyone else does not say that. And since it's closer to Mazid, going to exile is not enough of a punishment, therefore he gets killed, which is a big Chiddush. Rava disagreed with this. He said, no, a Kal v'chomer would say the opposite, that he should not go into Golus. Therefore, Rava, we're going to repeat now Rava's answer. What's the difference between the Mishnah? We're just going to repeat the last two lines from yesterday. Elam Rava, we're speaking about Be'omar Mutter. The case of the Braisa that says the Ger Toshav is killed is when he thinks it's permitted to kill, and therefore he does not go into exile, but rather he gets killed. While our Mishnah that says he does go into Golus is a regular case of unintentional killing, where whatever, he was going down and he fell down and he killed the guy. But Omer Mutar, that he says, is much closer to a Mazid, and therefore he gets killed for that. That was his difference of answering the question, to which Abaye, and this will probably be why Rav Shesh, Rav Chisda gave a different answer. He says, what are you talking about? Amalei Abaye, Omer Mutar Anasu. When it's Omer Mutar, he's allowed, that's unavoidable circumstance. It's like, what could he have done about it? He didn't know. What do you want from the guy? Right? The Palestinian thinks it's great to kill Jews. So therefore, it should not get killed for that. So to which Rava answers, Omer Leisha, Ani Omer, I hold no. Omer Mutar, Karov Lamezidhu. Omer Mutar, when you think it's allowed, that's closer to deliberate, and therefore going to exile is not good enough, and therefore we have to kill him. So therefore, according to Rava, a person is considered criminally at fault for never having learned the law that killing is forbidden. So now what the Gemara is going to do to wrap this sukkah up, as it were, to show you the fact that Rav Chisda gave one answer and Rava gave a different answer. Remember, Rav Chisda says the Chiddush answer is that the Braisa that says he gets killed is, they both agree the Braisa says he gets killed is a Karov Lamezid, closer to intentional. But how is that? Rav Chisda says it's because you're going up is close intentional, which Rava clearly disagrees. So what are you talking about? That, if anything, that's more like an accident. You don't connect. So, well, he says it is. On the other hand, Rava says the case where he is killed, the Ger Toshav, when he thought it was permitted to kill somebody, he didn't learn that you couldn't kill. That's the car of Lamezid. Well, on the other hand, Rav Chisda will hold like Abaye that's an ones. And what do you want from the guy? Now the Gemara says that these two answers really revolve around what they hold by Omer Mutar. Where we're going to see that Rava holds Omer Mutar is closer to Mazid, while Rav Chisda is going to say Omer Mutar is Korov to Ones. And that's what it says, Va'azul Tamayu, and they come out, they're going consistent with their reasonings. Okay, and everything I just spoke out. Okay, look what it says. Since Rav Chisda did not give Rava's resolution of the preceding problem, he evidently rejects Rava's premise that a person is responsible for killing a sin out of ignorance. Rather, Rav Chisda maintains, like I buy, that he is free from any liability. The Gemara, it's a little bit bigger here. The Gemara apparently understands Rav Chisda's own answer is forced, and he would have not given us. He had no other option. Remember, Rav Chisda saying that going up is close to the Maisie. That's a big chiddush. But Rav Chisda said it because he felt, I have no other answer. I have no other answer. Well, what about Rava's answer that the guy thought it was allowed? Well, he held thinking aloud is like Anones. So now we're going to go back and show that they're consistent with their opinions. The Itmar, for we learned, it says, let's say a person, Kesavar Behema Venimtza Adam. Okay, case is being where Ger Toshev kills another Ger Toshev. That's the case. Okay, so what happened? He thought he's aiming at an animal, and he killed a person instead. Now, here's the tricky part here. The killer was criminally negligent insofar as he failed to check whether the target was an animal or a person. Mm-hmm. In this sense, he is legally equivalent to one who thought that killing is permitted, who can be faulted for not having learned the law. This is the sticky part where you could see where you could disagree here. In other words, a guy thinks, oh, I'm allowed to kill people. Nothing. So why didn't you check it out? You know, it's, but he's, well, so he holds, you know, that's what it is, right? So, and that's negligence. So when you're trying to kill an animal, okay, at a distance. Now, if you killed an animal, but it was a person, like, what's wrong with your vision? Like, what's going on over here? You clearly could not have seen an animal, right? Let's say you're at where the menorah is, okay? And the menorah there is, I thought it was an animal, it was a person. Now, what exactly did you see? So now, if you really saw an animal, if you really saw an animal on all fours, you wouldn't have killed the person because it was a person and not an animal. Yeah. So what happens when you shot your gun? What was going on? What did you see?
An animal.
Nothing clear.
Nothing clearly.
No, he thought it was an animal.
I just shot into the
You boat. Can't think it's an either it's an animal.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have shot.
Oh, no, I understand, but how does it come up being a person?
He obviously didn't see clearly.
It happens here.
Okay, with my glasses on, you clearly all look like people to me. With my glasses off, you still clearly look like people. Let's put it 100 yards away. At that point, if it's not clear to me that it's an animal, because the truth is he killed a person.
Right.
And he thought it was an animal. So that means he could not have been clear when he shot the rifle. He could not have been clear. Because if it really was an animal, he would have killed an animal. So if he thought it was an animal, that means it wasn't clear. So there's something moving in the bushes. If there's something moving in the bushes, then it's your job to make sure that it's not a person. So that's like you should have learned. Right. What's the idea of learning? You don't have information. You need to get some more information to be clear. That's what you should have learned. So, you know, killing a person, did you ever think maybe it's not allowed? Maybe you should have, you know, looked a little more and found out if it's allowed or not. So just like that, we're comparing, you see something in the bushes. If it clearly, he saw an animal, then he would have killed an animal. A person does not look like an animal. Just doesn't. Even a monkey, a human being, still looks a lot different than a monkey. So if he thought it was an animal, then he should have killed an animal. How is it a person? That means he really was never clear. Yeah. What he saw for sure was that, because in fact he killed a person. So how could you tell me that a person looks like an animal? How could you say that? Must be, the person was at quite a distance, he may have been partially covered, and all you saw, I mean, I understand if you're hunting, you just look for some rustling in the bushes, and you shoot. Well, rustling in the bushes, anybody or animal could make a rustling. So it's your job to check it out. So that's like you didn't learn when you should have learned. Okay? That's how what we're equating to Omer Mutter. I thought you're allowed to kill anything that rustles in the bushes. What do you mean you're allowed to kill anything that rustles? Nope. You got to learn and see what is in the bushes over there. That's the only way the guy could say, I thought it was an animal. He thought it was an animal, but it was a person. Well, it wasn't clear. Oh, wasn't clear. Then why didn't you clarify it? That's the connection. Although it seems they're totally not related things. You didn't learn you can't kill a person, what does that have to do with you killing a person you thought was an animal? The common denominator is you should have got more information before you made the decision to pull the trigger. One was more information about you, about dealing with people. The other one is finding out if it was a person or an animal. So that's the common denominator of Omer Mutter. Okay, that's a critical point.
They also teach you that with like firearms. They teach you like before you even shoot, you make sure 100%.
There's nobody in the area. No, right, same thing.
But that's another thing, expectations. Did you go hunting for people or animals? You go in the forest and find animals. You don't expect that person to
be there. Is there another hunter? You're there. The hunter's there.
Now, okay.
So you don't think there's another? You're the only hunter in the whole world?
If you know the other hunter's there, then you're absolutely
But no, you don't have to know. You're there. If you're there, it's not possible another human being could ever be in the thing.
Of course it's possible.
Well, then you got to make sure. You got to make sure what you're shooting at.
Is it feasible?
It sure is. You don't shoot unless you know. Since when do you shoot if you don't know what you're shooting at?
That's what I was wearing at.
And you just like you, do you want somebody to shoot at you without looking?
If they think I'm an animal, they will. That's
but that's
point.
Not right.
No, of course
you don't shoot right. Unless you clarify.
I'm not shooting the shooter.
Well, this is criminally negligent. And it's
the difference between thinking you can kill a person versus not making sure it was an animal versus a person. So one is negligent, and one is just totally up to lunch. He didn't shoot because he thought it was okay to kill a person. He was negligent in not checking to make sure it was an animal.
So he didn't investigate. He didn't access more information before he made his decision. That's what Gamora's saying. If you think you can kill a person, you should have maybe asked and found out if you could kill a person. That's not a small thing. It's not like figuring you can even steal. Okay? I mean, this is, you're taking somebody's life away. Now, wait a minute. Would you want someone to take your life away? So that's something you should be researching further. That's the machlokes. Murder isn't your standard crime. Do you understand? It's not like your standard. It's taking a life away. Now, you got to have enough brains to know that's not a pleasant thing. And if you think it's allowed, that means you haven't really thought through this subject matter very well. So you should have studied a little more. Same thing, if you see something rustling in the bushes, you should have studied a little more. That's how they're equating it.
Just as if you don't think killing a human being is permitted.
But I'm saying, but even that, it's not. That's it's such a crazy thing that's something you should have studied more about. Same idea. You're withholding information from yourself that you could have held as information. That's what the Gemara is equating. Okay. I could hear you want to say it's a different, but the way the Gemara is working it is that you're withholding yourself from getting more information before making such a decision. Yeah. This is a life and death decision. You don't make them flippantly. So that's the machlokes. That is the machlokes. You know, is well. It's still a shogeg. What do you want? It's an onus. He didn't know. He didn't no way of knowing. I mean, look at it. You know, you see a Palestinian kid wants to kill the Israelis. So I could hear both sides of the coin. I could hear both sides. I wonder, how could you kill anybody? You wouldn't kill another Palestinian, right?
Yes, they would.
Okay. But on the other hand, they're saying, but we were taught that they're vermin. And that these are the lower, they're not human beings. So that's the machlokas. If you think killing is allowed, should you have studied more of this before you're going to kill somebody? That's something you really should have thought of. Well, I'm shooting in the forest. Did I have to think more or not? That is the machlokas. Or let's say Kanani. He thinks he's going to kill a Kanani, a non-Jew, and it turned out to be a Ger Toshav. Okay, now it's interesting. If you kill an idolater, the Ger Toshav is executed for deliberately killing another Ger Toshav, but not for killing an idolater. In this case, the murder was prohibited to kill the victim, even according to his mistaken impression of the victim's identity. Okay, even an Israelite is forbidden to cause the death of an idolater, and surely a resident alien is forbidden to do so. Nevertheless, since in his mind he was not committing a capital crime, that's the difference. You're not allowed to kill him, but it's not a cat. He doesn't get killed. So this act is deemed in unintentional respect to the death penalty. You're not allowed to kill a non-Jew, but if you kill him, you don't get the death penalty. But so what was the but he should have learned that it was a Jew and not a non-Jew, or a Ger Tosha non-Jew. So anyway, those cases, Rava Omer Chayev, Rava says Chayev, because he says, Omer Mutter Karav Lemezidu. If you think it's okay, it's close and deliberate. If someone thought that murder is permitted by law, Rava holds him responsible for failing to learn the truth. Likewise, he holds this person liable for failing to check the identity of his target. That's the point he's saying over there. Rav Chisda Omer Potter. He says, Omer Mutter is Potter. Omer Mutter Onesu. Omer Mutter, he thinks Marissa is more of a victim of an accident. Or even if it's not a capital offense. So that's their machlokas. That's what it boils down to. Rav Chisda and Rava, Omer Mutter, thinking it's allowed. And there's a range now of what thinking is allowed. And the Gemara is not going to answer, no, those are two different cases, like we could have thought. The Gemara does not offer that and say, what do you want to say? It depends on the locus. Well, this is different, because this one is an idea of checking, and that's an idea of... No, the Gemara clearly is saying it's a similar concept. It's all Omer Mutter. Is it closer to Ones? It's interesting, nobody says Omer Mutter is Shogeg. Mm-hmm. They will not say it's shogeg. Either going to say it's onus. I could hear, like, if you want to say, well, the Pelsin, he would never think that you could kill a Jew. So what do you want from him? On the other hand, it is killing people. You should check it out a little more. And now it's, you really want to kill, so it's more intentional. That is the machlokas.
Need to be clear.
Okay, so now that we have this machlokas, so now Rav is going to ask a question on Rav Chisda to prove the point that Omer Mutter is Chayev. That's what he would like to do. So now we've kind of left our sugya of city of exile, so to speak, and now we're in the Omer Mutter sugya. It applies to exile, though. So this is the discussion of Omer Mutter. Asa, we're going to bring a story in the Torah, and you're going to prove from this story about Omer Mutter. Amar Rava l'Rav Chisda. Rava says this is the case when Avi Melech, when Avram was in the city of Gror, and Avi Melech asks about Sarah, and Avram lies and says she's my sister and not my wife. Why? Because he knows if he says that he's my wife, he's going to get killed. Okay, fine. So what happens is Avi Melech abducts her. Then Hashem comes to Avi Melech in a dream, and he tells him, bad news for you, mister. So now let's see how this will fit into Omer Mutter. So Rava asks Rav Chisda, Hashem says to Avimelech, Hin chameis ala isha asher lo kachto. You're going to die for the woman that you have taken. Aha. So what does that mean, you're going to die? You're going to die. You're going to die. So what's the simple meaning? My love, does this mean bidei adam? Doesn't mean at the hands of a human court. I mean, in other words, Hashem is saying you should die at the hands of a human court, right? A Noahide court upholding a Noahide law. You, for what you did, you took this woman, you wanted to cohabit with this woman, you should be killed. Now, if so, we see Abimelech was held liable for taking another man's wife, even though he was under the impression that she was Avram's sister, not wife, and therefore permitted to him. Now, let's look at the commentary here. It's not so simple. This is similar to the case cited above. How is this? Because remember, he was told it's my sister.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's nothing wrong with a sister, right? But hang on. So, in which a killer thought that his target was an animal, but it turned out to be a person. Mm-hmm. Right?
But he wasn't told by anyone.
Here too, Avimelech thought that Sarah was unmarried, when in fact she was Avram's wife.
Right.
Now the question is, so what do you want? How is that comparable? Nevertheless, he was liable to execution for the capital crime of adultery, because he should have taken Sarah without he should not have taken her without investigating her marital affairs. Now I know there's still a question. Avram had told Avimelech that Sarah was not his wife. He should not have relied on Avram's word, as we'll see later. In other words, there's a problem. The Gemara's, I know it's still a problem now, but Gemara later is going to answer it. So I know you're going to say, this still I don't see it. Sure. I agree, but later you'll see another piece of information will fill this in. For reasons that you will find out maybe in another 10 minutes, He was still should have checked out. Yeah. Okay, there's something wrong. He should have not realized. The guy says it's his sister. Well, why is he saying he's his sister?
Yeah.
Come on. Don't you know the way you guys play around here? Don't you have a reputation already? Mm-hmm. What do you guys normally do? What do you guys normally do when a guy says she's my wife?
Kill her.
So when a guy says his sister, you think you take him at face value? If you know what you're doing, it's not like, oh, we're the most wonderful people. We're the best people. He said he's my sister, and why would he lie? Listen, what's your standard procedure? If a guy says she's the wife, he's killed, and you've killed many men already for this.
Right.
All right, so don't feign innocence. All right? So in other words, you got to understand, it's not like you ask somebody. You wouldn't kill anybody's man that is married to a woman. So if you say, who's his woman? He says, sister. Okay, he's a sister. But Abimelech, he's in a culture where they do kill the man. Yeah. They do and have.
His wife.
And have. So now when you ask a guy, you know you guys who he is, and the guy's walking in and says, shouldn't you think for a minute that he's lying to save his hide? And don't look at it the way you would think, Sammy. Pretend you're Avimelech. You're the guy who's already bumped off 50 men already. Bumped them off already. You think everyone's so stupid they're going to tell you, every guy's going to say it's my wife?
Avimelech's intention was to have Sarah.
Yes.
So anything that works in that favor, he would accept at face value. That's why he didn't.
But you can't do that if you have a reputation for knowing.
His purpose to do that.
So you should have asked more questions. So that's the problem. That's the problem. You hear? So therefore, that's a classic case of Omer Mutter. You should have checked more. It's not a regular place in Thornhill where everybody's nice to everybody. In a lion's den, a hoodlum's den, and you normally kill a guy, it's not unreasonable to think that he's lying to you. So you should have asked a few more questions.
Why would he worry about lying? He doesn't care. He wants to kill him. If he's a wife, he's going to have her as a sister. So what's the difference? He doesn't care.
But he should have checked more. That's all.
I mean, you could have just killed Abraham and then said, I'll take Sarah either way.
Yeah.
Okay, but remember, he's a politician, so he wants to look good as much as possible. Like all politicians, they lie and kill and do and murder. They all do it. Question is, we don't want people to know we're doing it, and if we could avoid doing it, we don't want to go out of our way to do it. That's all. So it's clearly he should have checked. It's clear to know that people. If you really are such a tzaddik, you should have asked a few more questions. You should have asked more questions.
He's not a tzaddik to start with.
But therefore he's liable. You can't just sit behind and say, "Well, I didn't. I'm looking. I saw something going in the woods. I want to kill an animal, and I'm not even going to ask if it's a person. I really want to kill an animal because I want to come home with a big deer's head with antlers, and I'm not going to risk the chance of missing out if it's a deer in case it's a person. So I'm not going to ask questions. I'm going to shoot and find out later." That is Omer Mutter.
That's why I with
you should have studied. Same thing here. You should have asked.
He believes what he has to believe is a problem.
Because that's his purpose. He went there for a purpose.
Again, but it's a situation where if you want to be a decent person, you should have asked more questions.
He's a decent person. Doesn't steal a woman.
Okay, therefore, you're going to die. You should have investigated. You didn't. He's guilty of not investigating.
He can use that as his own defense, basically. When Hashem comes to him,
he's saying, I didn't know.
I'm not arguing about that. He's a guilty.
Well, that's what the Gemara's right.
Okay, anyway, let's move on.
Can he have one question? Can he take Sarah against her will? I mean, isn't he right?
No.
Is that his...
Well, that's not a criminal. It's not a capital offense. It's different offenses.
Rape
is not a capital offense. Even in this world, no one gets killed for raping somebody. You're put in jail.
Married woman, huh?
In the Torah, you don't kill somebody. that's rape is different, but that's not the issue. In fact, Avimelech did not go near Sir because an angel prevented him from doing so. Consequently, he would not have been liable to this in any event. Some commentators therefore understand this verse to mean that if he would have committed adultery, he would have been an angel. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara, it seems on face value, he deserved, at least, had he done it, to be killed, even though it's Omer Mutter. So it's a proof that Omer Mutter is Chayiv. That's Rava's point. So the Gemara answers, no, that's only would be right if in a court he could get killed. And he answered Rav Chisda answers, lo, that's not what Hashem means, is you're going to die in a human court, but rather bidei shamayim, in the hands of heaven. A human court would not have convicted Avimelech because Omer Mutter is Potter. In a human court.
Right.
But in a godly court, not. So our laws in Makkos and Sanhedrin only do with human courts. And even if Rava says, even if Rav Chisda says that Omer Mutter is Potter, that's only in a human court. He could agree that in God's world, God will make sure the guy gets killed in a road accident.
So if we accept that God will going to kill him, that means he's guilty.
But not in a human
court. Here, not human court.
There are such laws that in a human court you're not killed. You eat truma. What's the halacha?
So why bother with human courts?
Okay, that's a broader question that I don't have time to get into now. That's a broader question. Hashem says, this is what, as far as I want human beings to go, and wherever human beings can't finish off the job, I finish off the job.
There's not two witnesses. The guy gets killed.
Yeah. Let's say a guy kills someone intentionally and nobody knows about it. What happens? And we have circumstantial evidence, but it doesn't matter. We can't kill him.
Right.
So human court only has so much leeway. So the same thing here. When it's Omer Mutter, maybe human court can't kill, but God will decide what he really thought and meant and will take care of him. Heavenly justice can be stricter than human justice, with God holding man accountable even for deeds that do not appear to us as criminal. Human justice must follow prescribed rules of evidence, and certain assumptions have to be made by the courts in accord with the law. According to Rav Chisda, someone who does something he thought was permissible must be acquitted by human court because they do not hold him responsible for his ignorance. In some instances, however, the transgressor's ignorance may actually be due to gross negligence. Thus, although the human court would have to acquit him, the heavenly court, which is privy to a person's innermost thoughts, will punish him. That's the critical. In Omer Mutter is not so clear what the guy really, really meant. So with that we leave to God. So therefore, it's not a question on Rav Chisda. Even though God says to kill him, but only in God's world, not in the human world. And he's going to prove it more. De Konami, you look at the verses, we'll back this up. It's implied. Because what did Hashem say? You're going to die because Mechatoli, you sinned against me, said Hashem. You didn't say you sinned against Sarah.
Yeah.
So that would seem to indicate it's about Hashem. Right? And that's why Hashem sent the Malach to stop him. So Gemara says, okay, you want to say that answer. So you want to say, oh, so when it says you sinned against me, that means it's a godly issue and not a human issue. Oh, wait a minute. Let's find another case in the Torah where you say it's a sin against God, but that is a human court. And that will knock off his answer. Yeah. Remember, Rav Chisda is saying, since Hashem said you sinned to me, that makes it a godly issue, not a human issue. So Rava turns around and says, wait a minute, I'm going to show you the story of Yosef. When Potiphar made the overtures to Yosef, now that's also immorality. Clear?
Right.
For sure. She's a married woman.
Yes.
Clear she should die, right? Right. Uli Taimach. But according to you, they say once we throw God into the verse, it's not a human issue anymore. But what did Yosef respond and said? I can't do it because Vechatosi Lelokim. I will sin to God if I sleep with you. Now, was that only a godly issue in that case? Is that something that a human court can't decide and only God can? No, that's clear adultery. So you want to say it's Lelokim v'lo Adam, it's to God and not to man? That's not true because adultery, human court. So that proof is out now. The fact you say it's Lelokim, not at all. So therefore, that can't be correct. Yosef, you know, he knew that, so that would be human court. So that proof is not a proof. Okay? Ella what? Dino Maslodom. That's a case where it goes to a human court as well. With Yosef, it would have been a human court issue. So Hanami, back here as well, when Hashem says, you sinned, it's Dino Maslodom. It's a case given over to man. And he says, I hold it's a man. And he says, I hold it's God. But it would make more sense to say it's God, because it's, you can't be proof by saying I'll sin to Hashem. No, it was a criminal thing. So that answer will not work. Okay, so we're going to have to stop it here. There's one more proof coming up from the Gemara. And we're going to have to leave that for tomorrow. It's a show. Another three, four lines, we'll be finished with this sugya.